Hello, welcome to the Rainbow Shaman. I'm Annette Lachmann and this is my podcast for shamanic journeying.
So, I'm here with my dear friend, Ernie, in his home, in the middle of the Saguaro Desert, close to Marana. He's living here. Very secluded with his wife Sharon, his dog Sophie, some other animals, cats and coyotes and all kind of birds and bees and hummingbirds. And we had a couple of nice days of teachings, and in the end of November it's still very warm during the day. At night it's really cold. And I've asked Ernie to give us maybe some comments, recommendations for the time we live in right now, which is a very challenging time for many of us. So I thought to have this information of this Cherokee elder, a red fire priest, maybe have something for us, for my friends, for your friends.
Every interview I've heard on the radio or on TV, the interviewee always comes back with, "That's a very good question, Christine." I want you to know that when you ask me to ponder on this question, my first response is, "You have got to be kidding me." You want me to try to make some sense out of this? Okay. So I pondered on that overnight. Just what is it that we're being encouraged to do right now at this time? Because it's really, really interesting if you get to digging around and different things that according to these astrologists, and I'm going to take their word for it because I haven't studied astrology, the alignments of the planets and the stars and everything are just exactly what they were during the time of the bubonic plague in Europe. And so there's some theory that everything is just picking up from that point forward. So maybe that's what this pandemic is. I don't know. But what I was trying to figure out is what do we get for it? What's the there's got to be an underlying message here. And you get tempted to go off in all sorts of different directions, you know. It's karma, it's this, it's that. And I don't know that matters all that much. I'm sure it matters to a few individuals, but to the entire human race as a group, I don't think it matters too much. What we've got to look at is why is it still here? And there's all this distrust of authority, which I am not in any way opposed to. I grew up being taught question authority every time it's thrown in your face. So, you know, what we do have, though, is let's just step outside the emotions and just get as objective as possible. We have a vaccine. They worked on it a really long time, believe it or not. They really did. According to the numbers, it works. It works. And for the folks out there that's all worried that that's the government slipping a microchip into you so they can trace you around. Yeah, microchips, they've only got down to the size of grains of rice. And you look at that vaccination needle, it won't fit. And aside from that, they really don't need to. I mean, hell, you got your cell phone on all the time. They don't need to inject you with a tracking device. You do it for them, then you pay for the privilege. I think what we need to pull out of this pandemic is that we all need to do this together. Now what little bit I do here, you know, I got my vaccinations and got my booster and living out like this, I always thought I was living in the country. Just this past couple of years, I found out they call what I'm doing living sequestered. Wow. Who knew? So, you know, I got that down to an art. But I think what Mother Earth is trying to tell us is we need to come together and pull together as one human species, one human race, because face it, I don't care how good our science is, right now we don't have another home other than Earth. And even if we did, it would still be a good idea to save it. I feel kind of partial toward it. And so anyway, that's just what I pulled. Reaching out there, grasping, saying, you know, what is there in the middle of all this madness we're going through that is the valuable lesson for us? I mean, you know, what they learned from the bubonic plague, you know, you gotta get cats to keep the rats out of the house. And then later on, they took all the women that had cats and burned them at the stake.
Yeah, we won't have this right now. But like this doing it together is exactly also the philosophy which is going around now. It's the union also of the male and the female, and actually of not leaving out people. Mm-hmm. Because many people, they have the feeling it's a lot of separation. And I believe this is exactly so counterproductive of getting a grip on anything.
There is a lot of separation, but I'm not sure that it's not just self-generated, self-imposed. I mean, yeah, okay, so we've been through a few lockdowns and stuff, but even at that, you know, just everybody and their brother a cell phone. Yeah. No, it's not the same as being there in the room with you, but it is your voice.
Absolutely.
And that voice carries all the emotions that's coming out of you as you're speaking to me.
Yeah, I was rather referring to the like separating of because of these different minds, because you said yeah. If everybody would get over it, the isolation I think is not as bad because I think you know that your nations have really endured during the smallpox something totally different, not having cell phones or video calls or Zoom. So they've been through that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a experience that's within living memory. Well, it couldn't be living memory. Nobody could still be alive, but it's in the...
And the genes.
The living cultural memory.
So could you evolve it a little bit for my friends? Because I think they don't really know.
In the early history of the United States of America, their primary goal was to get Indian land. Which makes sense if you're trying to create a country. You need a land base. Okay, there was a... a strict protocol that all tribes observed when dealing with the people from outside of the tribe. And it was set up, it appears that it was set up in such a way that there could be no misinterpretations, you know, no hurt feelings because it just wasn't communication between the two. And Americans, early on, the colonists who later became Americans, figured out that they could not get land concessions that way. So what they did was went around that element of tribal government and went to the peace chiefs and basically bribed them. I've often been asked, well, how were they so easily bribed? And I don't think, if you look at the history, it's not difficult to figure out the traders came with blankets and steel pots and pans. Now you got to imagine that these Indian women in the villages, they've been at war with the colonies now for like 10, 15 years. Times a little hard, and you can make your own pottery vessels, you know, I don't know what it takes, 2 or 3 days, I don't know, or you can get your husband off his ass to go out and kill a deer, bring home some meat, and go take that hide and trade it in for some steel cookware. I'm pretty sure that's how that went down. And I don't see Indian people today going out of their way to make it out of pottery if they can buy it at Walmart. We're practical people.
Yeah, but you were relating it now to what happens, like compared that they had a disease and how they cope with this.
Well, they, back when they slipped in the smallpox infested blankets to trade to the Cherokees, they responded medically, as they did with every other disease that they were familiar with. And so you would take the person that was ill or injured, whatever it was, put them on a bed in a room of the house, and the whole family would come. Everybody would gather, and they're focusing their prayers and their intention on healing and everything. And rather than getting healed, they were spreading the smallpox like wildfire. And I've often wondered in my own imagination what it must have been like for those medicine people to, you know, they put out their best effort and it only got worse. You know, how do you handle that? What do you do with that? And then I remembered my teachings. Stop. Stop. If it's getting worse, stop. Okay. Take a look. What are we doing that's possibly making this worse? Okay. Anybody know what those people out there do? Yeah, someone says, well, yeah, they quarantine them, they isolate them. What's that? And I said, okay, well, let's try that. So that worked. But in the process of getting to that point where they had a viable treatment against it, half the tribe died from the smallpox. And so you got to kind of figure, at least half the culture returned to the earth, you know, went with those people, and possibly more than that, because since each clan kind of keeps their own historical accounts, you know, when you add in what all was lost down to that level, that was a devastating blow. And then about 10 years later, it happened again and wiped out the other half of the tribe. And then the history gets really, really convoluted after that. But what has come down to is we're back here, okay. The United States government has lifted the ban on us practicing our religion and culture. Since 1978, we've been free to practice our religions. So what I'm observing is a slow relearning process on how to deal with these different diseases and issues as they arise. And there's a lot of wisdom in the old teachings and the stories and digging through there with an objective eye is it can be difficult, because what you will find happening if you pay any attention as you're going along here, I mean, basically what we had to rebuild from was some of our old stories that some of the elder people had written down, and a lot of the oral stories. And being aware that those stories are told in a format that's called Peshar, Peyshar. It's Aramaic, I think. I'm not sure. And what it means is, when you're telling a story, you tell it in such a manner that any children present want to sit down and listen to the story. Now, for the older people, as they understand more of their culture, the bigger the story becomes, the meaning expands to include all the rest of the culture. And I went to American public schools, American public universities, so everything I taught was the everything I was taught was the standard Americanized version of history that goes back to the 1940s, when someone in government wisely decided we need to come up with a common history so that we all have the same history. So that's the time where all this madness started anyway. Now that they've released us to be Indians again. it's kind of like you read these UFO books and UFO articles where they're back engineering technology. It's kind of like what we're doing here. We're having to back engineer all this ancient wisdom and technology that we've had. We've just got to now adjust our position so our perspective shifts and we can see it more from what it was before, and go back to the whole smallpox epidemic and kind of restore that balance. Okay, we did learn. We did learn. We did get it under control. No one walks around today worried about catching smallpox.
So you could really transfer it now to this COVID. So we need to learn to from the past as well. And also just accept that situation. You said that yesterday, they are what they are. So if for the time being it takes some isolation or some quarantine or whatever, we just do it and then go on.
And it may be a cultural thing as well. In Indian cultures, you know, everybody gets fascinated with Indian cultures from the names, you know. Oh, they're like, there's Standing Bear and Sitting Bull and all those things. And I don't know exactly what they think that means, but it's not the name you chose for yourself. That's what the rest of the community knows you at. And in Indian culture, that's where your identity comes from. If it's just you, you essentially have no identity. That's just ego. You know, it is your family and friends that define who you are. And out of that, you have an obligation to look out for the best interest of them, because their best interest is basically your best interest. And so that's how the whole society kind of functions, and I think that's why a lot of people interpret Indian society as kind of stoic and say, no, it's not that at all. They're just, we don't have to spend a lot of time trying to figure out who each other is. We know. I know from the day you were born, I've been watching you unfold. I know who you are. I know who I'm dealing with. And you need to become aware of that.
So would you say this is what is also missing a little? I mean, in these modern times, everybody's doing their own things, sitting on their phones, doing their own things. They're not really, that there's not this sense of family or getting together in a different way?
Yeah, maybe to a certain extent. But I mean, on the bottom line, practical level, what is the difference from this person sitting here reading their phone and having their coffee from the person sitting at the breakfast table reading the newspaper and having their coffee? It's about the same thing.
You know, that is okay, but I mean, sometimes when we said this the other day, this people sitting in a restaurant, everybody's looking at their phone.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I found this very often, you can observe this, because everybody has all this, everything is so fast, you need to respond fast. You hear the phone ticking, ringing, binging, and this conversation are very often interrupted. I experience that when I'm outside, sitting at a restaurant or whatever. So...
it's just the way some people are.
You know, I think that's totally fine. But the storytelling, what you say, what is between the Indians, this is like your culture. I mean, we used to have that too, like with the fairy tales and whatever, but maybe that would help if people just go more into this kind of also like... also fantasy maybe, or just go to nature more. I mean, there's many people really have this longing now to do this. I think this is also with this whole shift. You said there's a shift going on. So maybe more and more people are just listening to this. Is not all about only technologies or whatever. It's also about going outside, right? I mean, to be with nature, to reconnect. Like you have said, you relearn it. Maybe we have to relearn to connect to nature and to whatever is around us more.
Another cultural element would be the relationship of the people, the community, wherever it is that you live, to nature, to get back out there and hear the sounds and the noises and feel the insect bites and all the other wonderful things that go with being outside in nature, and take a look. Take a look when you go out there. Pay attention. Where are all the insects? Where are all the birds? What has happened from the time we were children? You could go outside and see birds and bugs and all sorts of critters to now. If you see somebody walking their dog by, that's a big event in nature nowadays. What have we done? And is there anything, anyone other than nature herself saying, hey, wake up, look around you, pay attention? Are there other elements of the earth telling us the same thing? And if you look around, you can't help but notice, yeah, things have changed a lot. This ain't the outside that I remember from when I was a kid. And then start looking at what happened. And, you know, we can do all kinds of research and come up with that, and it's basically the corporate world, and once humans decided to make money their source of barter, their source of trade, you know, this is the road we were on. Money talks. So we gotta get together and do like that little Greta German girl is trying to do, get people to wake up and say, hey, we need to help our mother here, and we need to just take that Christian, I will dominate nature attitude and just throw that in the fire and forget about it. No, you're not going to dominate anything. You're either going to work with it, or we're not going to have anything. And so anyway, that is a very unorganized, convoluted response.
No, I think it's a beautiful... No. I think it was a perfect answer now. And I also encourage my friends to go out in nature and do exactly what Ernie says. See what has changed, but you will find nature. You just have to go outside and look. And the more we all do this and take care, and if you see plastic, whatever, just collect it and throw it away. Just be earthkeepers, right?
Yeah.
Would you agree? So thank you so much for
this
beautiful interview. So grateful. So... bless you, my darling.
And thank you all for coming to my rescue when I called.
So welcome.